This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. When we think about the future, we often picture flying cars, robots, images from Back to the Future, the cartoon The Jetsons, or perhaps a dystopian society from movies like Demolition Man. Well, lucky for us, the Community Center Design Center at the University of Arkansas has received a grant from the American Institute of Architects in partnership with the Clinton Global Initiative and the Association of Collegiate Schools of Architecture as part of the Decade of Design program. And because of this, the Community Design Center is able to provide a much more realistic look at Fayetteville's future. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas has more.
Imagine Fayetteville with a population of 135,000, not counting university students. If the current growth rate of 2.7% continues, that's how many people will be living within these city limits. That's according to a report conducted by the University of Arkansas Little Rock's Business School. The mission of the University of Arkansas Fayetteville's Community Design Center is to promote creative development through education, design, and research. That organization has been working with the city of Fayetteville to develop Fayetteville 2030, a scenario plan. Scenario planning was introduced about 60 years ago. Often used by military and transportation, it's common in Europe, though not widely used in the U.S. Rather than a comprehensive plan, scenario planning looks at issues of growth and drivers of growth through what-if scenarios. Steve Luoni, director of the Community Design Center, has more.
And so these are not proposals for what the city has to do. What the scenario does is allow the decision-making culture of the community. That includes the university, the cities, developers, anyone involved in planning, to look at the issues that the city may confront in the next 30 years, which are hard to anticipate. So what scenario planning does, rather than lay out what we should do, it lays out the issues and things that we might consider so that we make the decision-making culture of the place smarter about how to allocate resources.
Fayetteville 2030 is a multi-year project involving different scenarios. The first Fayetteville 2030, Transit City, looked at the role of the streetcar in public transit in organizing future growth. Fayetteville is growing outward, sprawling. Rail is one way to concentrate the population. If the city does nothing, it's predicted 300 miles of new roads will be built in the next 20 years. Luoni says the one way to address future cities is the collaboration of transportation and land use, which currently isn't on the board in most places. This current project, Food City, is a follow-up to that. The center's assistant director, Jeffrey Huber, explains how the food scenario fits in.
What if that development that was coming by 2030 was incented to organize itself around a productive food network that could sustain itself, as well as what we're finding through our metrics, the rest of the city, through growing food through an urban agricultural network? And so, you know, that's what's at stake, is 300 miles of new roads at a cost of $600 million is what we were just finding with just those new roads. That doesn't include, again, all the sewer services and everything else that the city would have to put in, install, and maintain over the course of years to come.
They say that local food networks play a large role in the health, sustainability, and resilience of a city. Luoni says that when looking at the scenario, resiliency is important.
How resilient, how stable are current settlement patterns such that when electricity does get cut off, if supplies to food get cut off, the withdrawal of credit from the market, perhaps energy shortages or lower energy future, are infrastructure prepared to handle those sorts of drivers of instability?
Food City looks at what if 100% of Fayetteville's future growth had to be supported from a local food network. This allows them to make a footprint of what that would look like. As beef eaters in the U.S., 2.1 acres are needed per person per year to support nutritional needs. Changing with diet and location, compare that to the tenth of an acre that is needed in Cuba.
Right now, their study shows it would take 147,000 acres of land just to support 135,000 people that are coming to Fayetteville by 2030.
Keep it in mind that the city of Fayetteville's only 30,000 acres, so we would need five times the size of the city just to support pasture-raised beef.
If we took beef out of the metrics, all of the nutritional needs of the city could be met with just 40,000 acres, making it much more feasible to look at the current acreage of 35,000 and actually have an urban agricultural network throughout the city that could support our nutritional needs. But how does that work if there are roads and buildings on that land? Huber explains.
A public right-of-way, for instance, a street, it can easily go ahead and instead of planting an ornamental tree, that tree can actually be flipped over to produce a nut or produce some sort of fruit or some kind of high-value product on it that is essentially space we already use. It's just moving it from an ornamental purpose to a productive purpose. And so those are the kind of techniques and ways that we want to look at embedding an urban agricultural system in the city is utilize the places that are already there. Why can't a riparian corridor be a cool foraging network that also has a trail system associated with where you can go and kind of as a hunter-gatherer network, you can go through there and kind of get all the food products you may need.
Whether food insecure or a local foodie, no matter the budget, there will be something for everyone in this urban agricultural network, from high-quality products to highly forageable products. Luoni points out that this plan is also an economic development tool, because value-added food products are being grown locally, processed locally, marketed locally, and distributed locally.
Because what it does is it brings higher value than what you would find from industrial farming. And there's a real market for that now.
This goes back to resiliency, being less reliant on those industrial farms. Four farms produce 80% of our nation's spinach. What would happen if just one of those went out of business? Fayetteville already has some edible landscapes. There are greens on the square, herbs in Wilson Park. It's a matter of amplifying that, getting more individuals and businesses on board. Huber mentions a farm meadow project that's taking off nationwide.
And their initiative to actually have a website that links retailers with distributors with people that actually want food products, whether you're growing or you're buying it out of a CSA, community supported agriculture program, or if you're a restaurant. I think those are the great opportunities that allow for the bringing this to the 21st century and having these kind of networks in place that if you do have a plot of land where you're growing spinach, that you can somewhat figure out these kind of share programs where you can actually just, you know, trade your products around town. So maybe you're good at one thing. Well, that's how, you know, you as an individual, but I think even if you didn't want to grow anything at all, you should know where these markets are. And that's what the Food City scenario wants to do is set up neighborhood markets around town to where people know where to get access to local food.
As the Community Design Center is associated with the U of A, Luoni and Huber are working with architecture students to help develop their plan. Fifth-year students may take the option to get studio hours at the center, working on the Food City scenario for an entire semester. Close to 10 students are working on the off-campus studio on this sunny afternoon just before Thanksgiving break. While their projects might not wind up in the final product, they are contributing, both to the plan as a whole and their grade. Ryan Pruitt, a fifth-year student, explains what his approach to the Fayetteville 2030 Food City scenario is.
Okay, what I'm working on is just how to integrate food into the city of Fayetteville, into a fabric that's already here. I'm working particularly with like this neighborhood around the Martin Luther King and 540 intersection and what that would look like with all this food. 100,000 acres stretching all the way to Farmington and Lincoln, all this agriculture that would come into the city and how it doesn't just like stop at the city and it turns urban, but it actually, the food comes into the city and begins to make spaces where people can interact and run around.
He envisions pockets of agriculture around which people want to live. He uses a computer program to map his ideas, as well as 3D models and drawings.
So for instance, in my drawings, I have all these, this really strong line that seems like the agriculture stops, but then I have these lines that continue into the city, and then they turn into these huge squares and public spaces where, you know, you can imagine kids playing around, and we joke around about corn mazes, but and underneath orchards, sitting underneath trees, you have mega trees, you have nut trees lining the streets, and then all around these orchards, you have, like, these living houses where people can look out of their living room windows and just look out over a sea of trees and a sea of apples and fruits. And a lot of these vertical surfaces, especially like ones facing south, you can use to grow vines and use the sun at all times.
Residents could literally reach out their window and grab fruits and berries. Pruitt's approach is more regional, incorporating the surrounding more rural towns. To see what Fayetteville's food city will really look like, I guess we'll have to wait a few, or 17 years. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
In the end, Israel and Hamas signed on to a ceasefire, but winners and losers in this conflict stretch from Cairo to Ankara to Tehran and Washington, D.C. I'm Neil Conan, the winners and losers after the latest Middle East conflict, plus our weekly read of the Opinion Page. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.